Mishnah says in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so b'mikdash are talking about Loba Medina. You don't blow shofar in chutz la'mikdash. It's machlekes that we've shown him. What exactly mikdash means? Is mikdash means the base of mikdash, mikdash means Yerushalayim. Well, nice. Everybody agrees that chutz la'mikdash, whatever that term means, we do not blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shalos b'Shabbos. So the Gemara raises the question, why is that? How do you know that's true? The Gemara presents a whole drasha based on psukim to try to explain this as a din min haTorah. So the Gemara says that in one place, the Torah says, Yom Teruah Yalachem, that's in Parshas Pinchas, and in Parshas Emor, the Torah says, Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh. Yom Teruah has the connotation that you actually blow, you literally blow the shofar. Zichron Teruah has the connotation that you speak about the shofar, you zochet, you remember the shofar, you mention it, but you don't actually blow it. So how do you resolve that contradiction? So the Gemara says the answer must be that Yom Teruah Yalachem is referring to Rosh Hashanah Shekhares Tachol, and Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh is referring to Rosh Hashanah Shechalios Peshabbos. That's the Gemara suggests at the beginning of the sugya. So the Gemara rejects this on technical grounds. The Gemara says, how can it be that this is a real din min haTorah? If so, why should there be a din b'biktash that yetokeya? It's a real din midaraisa. If Kiyah Shofar doesn't apply on Shabbos, so then there should be no distinction between the base of mikdash and chutz l'mikdash. Then the Gemara raises another question. The Gemara says that what kind of malacha would be involved in Kiyah Shofar? If you're going to tell me this is a din min haTorah, it sounds like there's some kind of nisadirais involved. What kind of nisadirais is there? Kishofa is not one of the lamites malacha. So the Gemara says the whole thing is wrong. The whole mahalach, it was Rabbi Levi Balach, who gave his whole razzle dazzle mahalach with the psukim. The whole thing is wrong. So Tacha, why don't we blow shofar in Mishnah Shechalas B'Shabbos? So the Bava gives a whole different reason. We'll get to it a little while later. It's only a din midrabon, mikazeir, etc. You're going to carry. But min haTorah, there's really no difference between Mishnah Shechalas B'Chol and Mishnah Shechalas B'Shabbos. So notwithstanding the fact that the Bavli rejects this idea, that the Pesukim are teaching us this idea of the Torah, the Yerushalmi accepts it. Yerushalmi's Taka Maskon is like this. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak, quotes this idea, the same Pesukim story, and actually passes us L'maisa, that in fact we do not blow shofar min haTorah when Rosh Hashanah Chos B'Shabbos. So what do you do with the kasha of the Bavli, that in came the Mikdash also you shouldn't blow? So the Yerushalmi quotes Xeris HaKosov, because the Torah says in Parshas Pinchas, Yom Teruah Yalachem, but that was the mocha that sometimes you actually blow shofar. You don't just say psukim, you actually blow the shofar. And then the next pasuk says, so the Gemara has a drasha, the Rishon has a drasha, that when you mocha ma'mikdosh, which is mocha ma'karbonos, so then it's always Yom Teruah Yalachem. Even if it's on Shabbos, that's a special, mikdosh overrides this chiluk between Shabbos versus Chol. So whereas the Bavli rejected this chiluk by Lavo Geraisa because of this kasha, the Rishami is able to somehow answer, gives a teretz to this kasha. So when all the dust settles, this machlekes is the Bavli and the Rishami, what is the nature of this din, that which we practice, the din of the Mishnah, we will not blow shofar on Shabbos? Is this a din min haTorah, like the Rishami presents it, like the Havamin of the Bavli presented, or is this only a din min derabbanan, because there you can carry, like seems to be the maskana of the Bavli? So let's just analyze for a minute before we get to the Bavli. Let's just analyze the Rishami a little bit. I mean, what is Peshat in this halacha? What's the hagdar of this halacha according to the Rishami that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shalos B'Shabbos? So one of the Acharonim in the back of the Gemara, the Mitzvah Eson, so he has an interesting ha'ara on this Rishami. The Mitzvah Eson raises the question. He says, look, ha'ara, the Rishami's opinion is, whereas the Bavli said that the Kishofar is not a malacha, Rishami seems to be holding that Kishof is really malacha. This mamish and Isser Gomos and Isser Deraisa to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shalos B'Shabbos. So that's the case, asks the Mitzvah Eson. So what the Rishami is really telling us is, we know that Shabbos and Yom Tov were always the same. Whatever's also in Shabbos is also in Yom Tov. Just a few exceptions, two, three exceptions, Echol Nefesh, Chita, Tzav, or whatever. But by and large, the Surim of malacha are pretty much the same on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So it comes out a strange thing, according to the Rishami, that blowing shofar is really malacha gemura mideraisa. You know, it's an issur deraisa on Shabbos to do it. So how do you do it on Rosh Hashanah? It's a funny kasha. How can you do it on Rosh Hashanah? The Torah says to blow shofar. So the answer must be that the Torah is telling you, in a sense, that the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is, in a sense, doich li issur malacha. Means whatever issur gemur this is, whatever issur deraisa tkiyah shofar would normally be, that's what the Torah says you're supposed to do. Like the same way the Torah says to bring a korban pesach on Erev Pesach Chalos B'Shabbos. The same way the Torah says do a meal on Yom HaShemini on Shabbos. So the Torah is telling you, don't ask kashas under Rabban Shalom. When we learn Migos, we try to outsmart the Torah. Don't ask any kashas under Rabban Shalom. The Rabban Shalom said that normally blowing shofar is a malacha, normally blowing shofar is a nisagama, min haTorah, but on Rosh Hashanah, the Tachamot of Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be doing it. So that's the case, asks the Mitzvah Eson.
He has a series of very, very serious problems. He says, if that's the case, so then l'chora, we would only be permitted to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechanes B'chol, only those exact amount of tekiyos that are absolutely necessary to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. What right would we ever have to blow anything more than the bare minimum of what the Torah says? If you don't like the Bavli, that there's always a derisive tekiyos Shabbos, not the Olam Tesla. There's nothing wrong with blowing shofar in a Torah and Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with blowing shofar in a Torah and Yom Tov. So then I can understand why maybe we can blow a few extra titles here and there. But according to Rishali, who says that blowing shofar is an Issa Gomor, it's an Issa Deraisa, so then it should be an Issa Deraisa in Yom Tov. So in Imkain, it should be an Issa Gomor to blow anything above the absolute bare necessity that's necessary to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's clearly not the case. The Gemara is the favorite in Rosh Hashanah, that we blow shofar many, many more times than the Torah itself actually requires. Min HaTorah, you only have to blow a maximum of 9 kolos. Even that's about Chalikis in the Gemara. But the absolute biggest machmir in Min HaTorah is that you have to blow Tekiyah 2 or Tekiyah 3 times. So we do that many, many times over. We blow Tekiyah the Miyushav and Tekiyah the Ma'umah. We have Min HaTorah, we blow after Davar. We have a million times we blow the shofar. According to the Rishalmi, so what right do we have every time we pick up the shofar to blow, which is not an absolute bare minimum of the mitzvah, would be a violation of an Issa Deraisa. Then the mitzvah Eisan raises another question. He says, what would be the din of blowing shofar on regular Yom Tov? Forget about Rosh Hashanah. Let's say I want to blow shofar on Pesach. So, not for the mitzvah. This time he likes the sound. So according to Rishalmi, that would be Yasim in our Torah. Because according to Rishalmi, we learn that from Sukkim that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos because there's some kind of an Issa Malach involved. There's a special heter to blow when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Kol. But any other Yom Tov which doesn't have the mitzvah to it, so for Shteitz, of course that's going to be also. So he asks the mitzvah Eisan, if so, how do we understand there's a sugya at the end of the first parak of Maseches Chulin, which tells us that we know that in the days of Chazal, they used to blow shofar every Erev Shabbos, like the sirens go off in Yerushalayim today. They used to have 6 days to blow the shofar 6 times on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara at the end of the second parak of Shabbos. So each time they would blow would be another warning that people should realize it's getting close to Benjamin left. The first day we blow an hour and a half before Shkia to tell all the people who are out in the fields they should come in. Then they would blow, it was an hour before Shkia to tell people to close their stores. Then they blow 20 minutes. Each set, the Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos, when they would blow to remind people to do certain things to make sure people realize that it's going to be Shabbos soon. So the Gemara says in the end of the Sefer Chulin that when Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, so you blow the Tekiyos also. You used to blow because, after all, on Yom Tov, everyone's cooking, everyone's carrying, everyone's doing things that are about to become Osir and Shabbos. So you want to make sure that everybody realizes that Shabbos is coming, so they would blow those tekiyos on a regular Erev Shabbos, which fell out on a Yom Tov, they would also blow those tekiyos. So yes, the mitzvah Eisan, according to Rishami, this is an Issa D'oraisa. How could the Tanaim, the Gemara quotes Mishnah, is Braises, the Mishnah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the Mishnah at the end of the first parak that says they used to blow these tekiyos on Yom Tov Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos. So asks the mitzvah Eisan, according to Rishami, how do you blow? It's Mamash also in a Torah. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. What heter do you have to blow? According to the Bavli, there's no Issa D'oraisa. It's not a Malach. There's nothing to talk about. But according to the Rishami, that there's some kind of an Issa Gomor, Min HaTorah, of blowing. So what heter do we ever have to blow for these other types of reasons? So says the mitzvah Eisan, Mitachomer HaKushas, you have to redefine the Rishami a little bit. One has to raise the following question. What's the nature of this Issa D'oraisa that Rishami tells us you're not allowed to blow shofar Shabbos? What's this about? What do we call this Issa? So we started off with a mistaken premise. We thought that it's an Issa Malacha. We thought this is falls down to one of the 39 Malachas. It's the 40th Malacha. We thought Rishami held this is Mamash and Issa Gomer Alts Malacha. So says the mitzvah, that's not the case. We know that in Shabbos, there are other things that are also besides the actual Malachas. Let's say the Moshel, you're not allowed to go chutz to Tchum on Shabbos. So it's a Nechleikis HaTanoim, Nechleikis HaRishonim. Is that an Issa Deraisa, an Issa Derabonim? Let's say it's an Issa Deraisa. The Niach, like some Tanoim, like some Rishonim who held that sometimes going chutz to Tchum in certain circumstances can be an Issa Deraisa. Does that mean it's a Malacha? Means if a guy goes chutz to Tchum on Shabbos, that means he violated a Malacha? So Pashas not. How do I know he didn't violate a Malacha? You don't have skila for going chutz to Tchum. You don't have chathas for going chutz to Tchum. It's an Issa D'oraisa, al yeti ish b'mkom b'yamashvi, according to some, but it's an Issa shelo b'taras malacha. So let's say you have other examples like that as well. Let's say shvitas behema. My animal's not allowed to work on Shabbos. So if I have my animal working on Shabbos, that means I did a malacha? I'm chayef skila, my animal's carrying something on Shabbos? That's ridiculous, that's not true. So what do you see from here? That there are two different levels of Isurim that are given to us on Shabbos. There are malachas that are also on Shabbos, and then there are a half a dozen other kinds of low-level Isurim, which are Asur, they're Isurim, they're Isur, Chumash, Shvitas Behema, whatever the case may be, but they're not also b'taras malacha. So there is a big machlokes in Rishonim about things which are also b'taras iser, not b'taras malacha. Do those things carry over to Yom Tov or not? When it comes to Yom Tov, so the Torah says, "Kam alech zevayd lo sasim." You're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov, except for one or two exceptions of Eichel Nefesh. What about things which are also on Shabbos, not b'taras malacha? Let's say, Lamashal, is there an iser of shvisas behema on Yom Tov? What would that halacha be? Is a person allowed to have their animal working? I'm not going to do the work myself. The animal's going to be carrying something. The animal's going to be working something. Is that my problem on Yom Tov or not? So this is the big machlekes. So it's machlekes, the Ramah and the Gra in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah paskins that there's no iser shvisas behema on Yom Tov. Shvisas behema was given to us on Shabbos. Man yanuach shocha v'chamerecha. There's a special mitzvah given on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. And the Gra says it's not true. The Gra says that whatever's also in Shabbos, but as the Mishnah Gemara Megillah remembers, ein bein Shabbos liyom tov eichel nefesh buvad. So the Ramah responds, yeah, ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos el eichel nefesh buvad in the realm of malacha. Whatever falls under the category of the third and not malacha is also bein b'Shabbos bein b'Yom Tov. The things which are not the b'taras malacha, which are the b'taras other isurim, those isurim do not carry over to Yom Tov. So comes the mitzvah Eisan, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and he suggests that according to the Rishami, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. Min ha-Torah. It's nisa deraisa, nisa gam mi deraisa to blow shofar on Shabbos. What malach is it? He says, it's not a malach b'klal. Our premise was mistaken. It's not also b'taras malacha. It's an isa b'fnei atzbo, both kiyas shofar b'Shabbos. So the Rishami rejected this. I've never heard of it. But the Rishami says that kiyas shofar b'Shabbos is an isa b'fnei atzbo. It's analogous to shvisas behema. It's like going chutz etchum. It's an issa shalai b'taras malacha. What do we gain by redefining the issa of tkiyas shofar according to Rishami as an issa shalai b'taras malacha? Comes out, if it's an issa shalai b'taras malacha, then it only applies when, at least according to the Ramah, it only applies in Shabbos, doesn't apply in Yom Tov. So we ask the klutz kasha and Rishami. We ask according to Rishami that holds that tkiyas shofar is a malacha, how can you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So we said, oh, you really can't, but it's a special chiddush atar you're allowed. No, that's not true. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah is not Shabbos. So Rosh Hashanah, on a regular weekday, the Isurim of Tekiah Shofar don't apply b'chlal. So let's say the case of when you have an Erev Shabbos that coincides with Yom Tov. So the Gemara Chulin says, you would blow shofar to tell people to stop cooking, to realize that Shabbos is about to start. So the Mitzvah Eisan said, how can you do that? It's an Issa Gomer Minat Torah to blow shofar on Yom Tov. The answer is, it's not true. There never was an Issa to blow shofar on Yom Tov. The Issa to blow shofar with Rishami was only on Shabbos. It was analogous to Tchumin and Shvisas Beheva, which are also B'taras Isurim B'tnei Atzma. But they're not included in Malacha. Whatever's not a Malacha doesn't carry over either. So come upon him, at least we have a Haggadah, at least we have a beer, according to Rishami, that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, but it's not Malacha. It's an Issa B'tnei Atzma. We have to ask now the next question, to take this Rishami one step further. Most of the shiur is going to be about Rishami. We don't even follow this Rishami, but we'll see why it's important to understand Rishami.
So if one were to go to the really grow, it would be a great question. It's a great question, that's it.
Yeah, it's not such a great question. Huh? We'll see as we go on. That's a push of question.
What about the Gemara that said that they would, when Arab Yom Tov would fall on Shabbos, the other way around.
When Erev Shabbos would fall on Yom Tov, they would blow, because it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov is Heter Gomer, even according to Rishami, it's Heter Gomer. But look, we have to ask the question one step further. So now that we were just Raviyah, we just gained this approach, just Hadgar, the Mitzvah, that the nature of Tekiah Shofar and Shabbos is not the Torah's Malacha, so what is it? What's the nature of the Isser exactly? What's the essence of this Isser? What kind of an Isser is this that the Torah gives us to blow Shofar and Shabbos? And to make the question even better for us, why is it that the Bavli doesn't buy into this? Why does the Bavli reject this whole story? Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, we don't blow shofar in Shabbos purely as a gzeir, the Rabbani make up to carry the shofar. Why doesn't the Bavli hold that there's some kind of an issur deraisa involved? What is the nature of this issur, and what is the nekudas machlokes between the Bavli and the Rishami? So there is a famous mahalach from the Rav to explain what is the root of this Rishami, which really goes to fundamentally the yisoid in terms of tekiah shofar itself. So the Rav developed this yisoid that tekiah shofar is different from many other mitzvahs in the Torah in the following sense. We have a very, very strange phenomenon when it comes to tekiah shofar. When was the last time that, imagine like this, imagine you're sitting in shul on the first night of Pesach, and you're about to start davening Ma'ariv. And right before Shemoneh Esrei, so the Gabbai gives a clock, and he says, okay, everybody, in the middle of the bracha, you just said, Atel HaKadosh, Atav HaChatonu, it's Yom HaKam Matzah Zeh, everybody should stop, pull out a piece of matzah, and start eating a piece of matzah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. He said, the guy was out of his mind. He said, you don't do mitzvahs in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is time for davening, and it's the time for mitzvahs. Everyone's not shaking over. Everybody leave shul and go to sleep in your sukkah in Middle Shemoneh Esrei. It's like, oh, ridiculous. You don't do mitzvahs in the middle of davening. So what's pshat? Happen when it comes to the Kiyah Shofar. So that's exactly what we do. All of a sudden you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. This is Svad, your mamash in the middle, you're silent Shemoneh Esrei. Even this Rashkenaz, you're in the middle of Chazos, the shots. So your mamash in the middle, the whole tzibah is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. We're standing Shemoneh Esrei. And all of a sudden we take out the shofar and start blowing shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's a wonderful story. It's a strange thing. So this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the Feirish. That's how you blow shofar. You blow, I'll say that brachas. So what's pshat? So the Rav said, al korachach yisi, from the very essence of how we perform this mitzvah, that the mitzvah of tkiya shofar is not just a mitzvah b'yam. The mitzvah of tkiya shofar is not just like stam like the tilis lulav, like yeshiva besuch, like chilas matzah. But tkiya shofar is a form of tefillah. Tkiya shofar is a kiyum tefillah on a level of deraisa. It means that the very essence, the very nature of tkiya shofar is such that it's supposed to be an expression of tefillah. So if so, I understand perfectly well that that's exactly where it belongs. It belongs dafka in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Where do we find such a precedent for this idea? How do we figure this out? That Tkiyah Shofar is a form of Tvila. So this is based on the Ramban. It's a Yisod that appears in the Ramban in a few places. It appears in the Ramban and say for mitzvahs, appears in the Ramban in the Mechamas and Rosh Hashanah. When the Ramban brings a Moshel, Tkiyah Shofar, he brings the Moshel of Tkiyah Chatzotzeris. There's a very similar mitzvah in the Torah called Tkiyah Chatzotzeris. That we blow the Chatzotzeris, B'shas Melchama, B'shas Tzara, you blow the Chatzotzeris. So what's the nature of the blowing of the chatzotzos? What are you blowing the chatzotzos for? So the Torah says beferish that you blow the chatzotzos, that the purpose of tkiyas chatzotzos is supposed to remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of us. It's supposed to bring out tefillas to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Ramban develops the Yisrael in Sefer Mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in that Torah to daven to Ramban Shalom the Eis Tzara. The Ramban happens to hold there's no daily mitzvah to daven to Rambam Shalom. The Ramban holds the mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah is dafka b'Eis Tzara. And the Ramban says, and the source for that is tkiyas chatzotzos. Tkiyas chatzotzos, what does that have to do with tefillah? The answer is that it has everything to do with tefillah. That's the very essence of the mitzvah of tefillah. So comes the Ramban and says, that same notion that we have, that tkiyas chatzotzos, that you blow to the Rambam Shalom to enhance your tefillah, that's the same thing we do in Rosh Hashanah as well. That the davening and the tekiyas are not two separate kiyumim, but it becomes merged one kiyum. It's a mitzvah to blow b'tocha tefillah. To blow is a part of a tefillah. That's not much like one mitzvah together. That's the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar. If that's the case, the Rav said, then we can begin to understand why perhaps it's inappropriate to be blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos b'Shabbos. There is an achloikis between the Ba'avli and the Rishalmi and Maseches Brachos. Why is it that we don't daven a regular weekday Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos? So the Bavli has an amazing comment. The Bavli in Maseches Brachos in the third parak says that in the Ikar Adin we should really say a regular Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. Why not? What's wrong with davening? Why can't you ask for your Tzrachim on Shabbos? You should not ask for whatever you want on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong. So the Bavli says, so why daven don't we? So the Bavli says, the Chum in a special takona, Yishum Tirch Tzibur. They wanted people to enjoy on Shabbos. They should relax on Shabbos, spend time with their families, have more time to learn on Shabbos, have time for a suda, take a nap. They wanted people in that davening not to be so long. As it is, the rabbi gives a long drush, and most of it takes long, and the announcements take long. They wanted to cut down on davening a little bit. So what did they cut down on? So they cut down on Shemoneh Esrei. So they cut down and said, they don't daven such a full Shemoneh Esrei. We have 7 brachas is good enough, and forget the other 12 brachas. It's okay, we can cut down on Shemoneh Esrei. So you see the koyach tirch the tzibur, the chazal, we're willing to cut down the Shemoneh Esrei and Shabbos to prevent Tirchot HaTzibur. So what gives us a right to create more Tirchot HaTzibur? To make more leaders, more ourselves, more announcements, and more shagas, and more things, more 100,000 mishaberach. So we should learn from Chazal that if Chazal, we're willing to cut down the Shemoneh Esrei, so Kalachav, we should try to cut down whatever's unnecessary part of Tzibur. We should try to, doesn't mean we should daven at a million miles an hour Shabbos morning, but we should daven like a mensch. But everything else, we should just so, extraneous, so why don't you try to cut down as much as they can. That's what the Bavli says. Let's say a person's in the middle of davening on Shabbos morning. He's davening Shemoneh Esrei, and he says, L'chayim eisim, at the Kodesh, Shem HaKodesh, and Yerubach HaShem HaKel HaKodesh. Then he says, At-tachanim l'mdas, m'chanenim itcha. Ooh, he totally forgot that it was Shabbos. So the Bavli says he should finish the bracha. Why? Because it's not a bracha levatala. Once you started the bracha, so finish that bracha. Then you continue with At-tachidashim, continue with Yismach Moshe, etc. Because there's nothing intrinsically wrong with davening a bracha from the bakashas on Shabbos. And the Rishami disagrees. The Rishami says, no, you're not allowed to daven bakashas on Shabbos. That's not Shabbos. That's not appropriate for Shabbos. that the nature of tefillah, the very expression of tefillah on Shabbos is fundamentally different than the way you express yourself in tefillah on a Yom Chol. It's a mitzvah of tefillah on Shabbos also, but it's a different type of tefillah. It's not the bakoshas and bakoshas, tzrachim, etc. that you have on that you have on a regular weekday. So the Rav explained, maybe that's the root of the machloekis between the Ba'avli and Yerushalmi. The Ba'avli maintains that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with going shofar on Shabbos, because there's nothing fundamentally wrong with davening Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with bakoshas tzrachim on Shabbos. So a person can blow the shofar, he's crying, he's thinking about all the big tzrachim that he's got for Shabbos shofar. So there's no, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Minat Torah, that's perfectly okay. That's like davening a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, which is meekur than okay. But the Yerushalmi, the Shitosa, Yerushalmi, which maintain that it's not appropriate to daven bakoshas tzrachim on Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi's opinion was, therefore, the corollary of that is that it's not appropriate minat Torah to blow shofar either. So if one understands Yerushalmi this way, then clearly the Mitzvah Nesan is right. This is not a malacha dikadin. This is not something that carries over the Hilchos Malachos. It's not the Lamedes Malachos. This is a special din on Shabbos. The Shabbos is not that's mufka from davening bakoshas tzrachim. So maybe that taka doesn't apply to Yontif. There's nothing wrong with bakoshas tzrachim on Yontif. So that's why the Yerushalmi says that when you have a Yontif, Shechali, instead of Shabbos, you can blow shofar. There's nothing wrong with blowing shofar to wake people up. There's nothing wrong to double to get ready for Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with blowing extra tekiyas in Rosh Hashanah. There's an issur from the outset of blowing on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not as matter of Chashas Tzrachim. So a kol ponim, no matter how you slice it, this is the sheet to say Rishalmi. Rishalmi says you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, and it's clearly a dimin haTorah, and it's derived from the psukim of Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. Since in one place the Torah says Yom Truah, in another place it says Zichron Truah. So the contradiction in terms, Yom Truah means you blow, Zichron Truah means you talk about but you don't blow. So what's the answer? So Rishalmi says one's Chol, one's on Shabbos. La halacha that we don't accept Rishalmi, we follow the Ba'avli. So we follow the Ba'avli and we say that minat Torah do blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. So how do we resolve that contradiction of psukim? So what do the psukim mean? How come in one place the Torah says Yom Truah, one place the Torah says Zichron Truah? What's the difference between the two of you? Rishalmi is not correct. So it's funny because in that Nisuch HaTfilah, we allude to the Rishalmi. We have a very strange minute in davening in Rosh Hashanah. It's from this year, Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, and we change the Nisuch HaTfilah a little bit. We say, instead of saying Yom Truah Yalachem in the Shemoneh Esrei in the Kiddush, what do we say? We say Yom Zichron Truah. The word Zichron is in parentheses. We say Yom Zichron Truah. We say that in Shabbos. Well, that doesn't make any sense. According to Rishalmi, that makes a lot of sense, because Taka Shabbos is not a kiyum of Yom Truah. It's a kiyum of Yom Zichron Truah. But according to the Ba'avli, that the term Yom Truah and Zichron Truah are not explained away by the difference between Shabbos and weekday. So why should we change the Neschat Tefillah? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So it's Taka Tela. We have this strange throwback in Uchos Tefillah to the Rishalmi Sheet to send out. Now this Neschat Tefillah is following in the Ikfasai Rishalmi. There really is a fundamental difference between Rosh Hashanah Chol Shvichol and Rosh Hashanah Chol Yos B'Shabbos. But whatever it is, Lamaisa, how do we shout the psukim? So really chumash, right? We said everything's chumash, right? Like it tells 70-year-old boils down to chumash. So when you read the psukim in chumash, v'dav Hashem Hashlema, zichron truah mikra kodesh. What does zichron truah mean? If zichron truah doesn't mean, is not referring to Shabbos particularly, specifically, so then what taka does it mean? So lechora, we have a fundamentally different approach. The Ba'avli's understanding of the psukim in chumash was fundamentally different than the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi understood that Yom Truah and Zichron Truah are contradictory. Yom Truah means you blow. Zichron Truah means you don't blow. You just talk about the shofar. So that's why Yerushalmi was so bothered. These are two contradictory terms. One has to apply one time, one apply another time. Yerushalmi developed the whole Shtickle Torah. But according to the Ba'avli, Lechora, the answer to the contradictions is not a contradiction in the first place. These two terms are not contradictory. These two terms are complementary. It means they're both true. When every Rosh Hashanah, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, you have to do two things. What are the two things you have to do? You have to do Yom Truah, and you have to do Zichron Truah also. Zichron Truah doesn't mean La'afuka Yom Truah. Zichron Truah means in addition to Yom Truah. Yom Truah in Pashas, Yom Truah Pashas Emor, sorry, Yom Truah Pashas Pinchas is complemented by Zichron Truah Pashas Emor. Both of these are correct. What do they mean? Bishlam, according to the Rishalmi, that Zichron Truah means don't blow. I know what it means. But according to the Ba'avli, that Zichron Truah means do something else besides blowing. What does it mean? What could it possibly mean? So Rashi, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, tells exactly what Zichron Truah means. It means the Amiras HaPsukim. That Zichron Truah, the term Zichron Truah, is referring to the reciting of the Psukim of Malachi, Zichronis, and Shofaris. So Rashi is telling us the answer to this dilemma. What's the difference in Yom Truah and Zichron Truah? They're not contradicting. They're both right. They're both true. Every year in Rosh Hashanah, no matter what, whether Rosh Hashanah falls out on the Yom Chol or on Shabbos, you have two mitzvahs to do. You have to Yom Truah, Pashas Pinchas. You have to physically, actively blow the shofar. And in addition, to fulfill the din that appears in Pashas Emor, there's a brisk divorce, the two dinim. There's a mitzvah Sakiyah, that's Yom Truah. There's a mitzvah Samiris Apsukim of the Malachi Zichuris and Shofar. And that has a truth in the phrase in Pashas Emor of Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. And that's true, Bein Michol, Bein B'Shabbos. But the Rabbana, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos for technical gezeirah. So, Nebuchol will left with this, the Miris Apsuk from this year. So, if this is correct, so then we have a tremendous chiddush on our hands. You know, we usually read the sugyas in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, of the Mishnayas and the Gemaras about the saying of the Psukim, Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofars. So, our initial reaction is this is all Midr Rabbanan. This is Tefillah. Tefillah is all Midr Rabbanan. I mean, the Nuscha Tefillah is the Rabbanan. According to the Rambam, you have to daven every day in the Torah, but all the whole Mishpat Hesra, everything, Brachas, Brachas, Krishma, the whole thing is over the Rabbanan. So our initial reaction is that the Brachas, the Shemot Hesra on Rosh Hashanah are also Midr Rabbanan, Machin, Zecharos, and Shofers. Like, where would they be Midaraisa? Where in the world would there be a Chir Midaraisa to say these Psukim? So according to Rashi, according to the simple reading of the Bavli, now the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, we reject the Yushalmi. We interpret Zichron and Truah to mean not a contradiction to Yom Teruah, but rather a compliment to Yom Teruah. But that really means it boils down to so that you have to not only blow shofar min haTorah on Rosh Hashanah, Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos, you have to say the Psukim as well, min haTorah. So this is in fact really Shittas Rashi. Rashi in Chumash bears this out also. Rashi in Chumash in Parshas Emor, when the Torah says Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh, so Rashi in Chumash gives you Pshat and Psukim. He doesn't tell you Dinim D'Rabbanan when he's giving you Taichin in the Pasuk. So the Rashi writes, what does it mean? What is the ultimate pshat? Pshuta shomimbro, zichron truah yimikra kodesh, says the Rashi, mikan shemaskirin malchi yizichronos and shofars. From here, you have to speak about the shofar. You have to speak about the different dimensions of zikir shofar, how it's malchi yizichronos and shofars, how it's malchi yizichronos and shofars, all the different themes of the brachas have to be said min haTorah. Doesn't mean you have to say kem sukim min haTorah with neviim, ksuvim, toyim. That format, the nusach, is all in the Rabbanan, obviously, but the basic chiyuv to be maskir psukim, to be maskir inyonim, and not dafka psukim, but to be maskir inyonim and malchi zichronos and shofars is a real mitzvah min haTorah, and it's derived from this phrase of zichron truah. That is the ultimate pshat according to the Bavli in the phrase zichron truah. If that's the case, so then Rashi is telling us an idea that we find in many, many mitzvahs. Very often we find that the Torah gives us a mitzvah. It doesn't give us a specific nusach how to do that mitzvah. Say, L'moshe b'riches ha'mazon. Who's with us with brachas? Right? Brachas, we spoke about this many times. The Torah says, v'chalta v'svata v'rachta. The Torah doesn't say what to mention in the b'riches ha'mazon exactly. The Torah doesn't say how many brachas to say b'pashtas. So the Torah says, you have to talk a little bit about what? V'rachta s'ashem v'lekech l'atzot v'ashen ha'zalmach. So you have to mention something about the food you ate, and you have to mention something about Eretz Yisrael. And according to some Rishonim, we have to mention Yerushalayim because it says Arta Tova, Hara Tova, it's all drasha and brachas. You have to talk a little bit. How you want to say this? What bracha you say? What niggun you use? You have to sing. So that's all Midrabbanan. That's all Midrabbanan. That's what I always say, that the greatest the proof of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is the niggun of brachas and Moslem. You go from Satma Cheder to the most modern day school, and they're all singing the same Hazan. That's Olam Kulam, it's the only thing we haven't got. So one of them. One of the many things that we have in common, correct? So the Torah gives us a mitzvah, brachas ha'mazon. The Torah gives us a few nuances, a few details. You got to send a shtuk in there, it's strong, and say something about it's strong, something about food and Yerushalayim. That's it. The rest is up to you. Well, the Torah says zochas yom Shabbos l'katshu. The Torah doesn't tell us the nusach of kiddush. The Torah just says you better say something about Shabbos, something about kiddush, kedusha, something, and the words are up to you. You have many, many mitzvahs like that. So the Chachamim came along at a much later time. When did these Takanos Chachamim come? No? So Berachas HaMazon Taka was done with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, okay, but let's say Kiddush. So the Gemara says in the fifth parak of Brachas, the Anshek Pesach Gadol, the Masak in the Nuscha of Kiddush that we have today. So that means that in the days of Bais Rishon, so the mitzvah of Kiddush was performed. The guy got up and he said, today Shabbos, Meichlu Shemam Vrotzvot Svam, good Shabbos Kiddush, whatever, if I didn't say good, whatever they said, Shabbat Shalom Kadosh, whatever they said, that was good enough. There was no formal structure to how to perform the mitzvah. The Chacham in the days of the beginning of Bais Rishon, he realized that you can't continue like this. You have to have some kind of uniformity. Everyone's doing the mitzvah in the same basic mahalach. But min haTorah, it's good enough. Min haTorah, like the Rambam says, min haTorah, there's mitzvah tefillah. How you daven, when you daven, for what you daven, what time of the day you daven, it's a hefkevel, it's a free-for-all. You daven whenever you want. Some people still hold it. They're still holding my kodem tekonis of Anshek Nesek Bela.
Someone was asking me the other day, they asked me about my shul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So they asked me, you know, what kind of a davening is it? It's, you know, it's more of a Lutvish davening, more of a Hasidish davening, more of a Lavi davening, and this davening. So they said to me, so is it a Yamachbir and this Mari Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I said, what was the Havamin exactly? What was the Havamin any other day? And the Kabbalah was the Havamin. So they said, no. They said, you know, a lot of people are not so Machbir as Mari Tefillah Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it was hard for me to swallow that. Anyway, but whatever it is. So what the Rambam says, the Kodim, so there was no concept of Zman Tzvila. There was no concept of Davening in Minyan. There was no concept. A guy got up whenever he woke up in the morning. He woke up, said, Krishna, went back to sleep. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he got up and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need Hatzlocha today and I've got to pass the spinal. And that was Tefillah Min HaTorah. And then the Chachamim came along and gave you a very specific format and structure, how to structure the Davening properly. So that's the same idea that Rashi seems to be saying when it came to Machas, Zecharias, and Shorfas. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, did they say 10 psukim? The Nevi'im and Tzumah aren't even written yet. They said, Atan Yigvayi Sabalan Kvadech, they didn't say any of that. But according to Rashi, what they did do is, when Moshe Rabbeinu blew Shofar, when they blew Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so everybody had to say, the Chazan, somebody was saying, had to speak about the Shofar also, that had to say, when being Mamdech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, remember us with Toiva. They had to speak about the Shofar in the context of the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. That's the Din D'Arayis of Zichron and Truah, according to Shittas Rashi. So the Ramban, in his parish on Chumash, in Parashas Emor, takes issue with that Rashi. The Ramban says it's not true. He says that what Rashi is saying, there's a Din Min HaTorah of Zichron and Truah, you have to say psukim to mention, you have to talk about the Shofar. There's no such mitzvah Min HaTorah. It's a mitzvah the Rabbanon. It's a takon. The Mishnah records a takon as an age old patonas achamim, but it's not a din in the Torah. There is no such mitzvah in the Torah. How do you know, says the Ramban, that there is no such mitzvah in the Torah of zichr and trua as an independent mitzvah? So the Ramban says, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah befeirish, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says naflam adalad. Let's say you have a guy. He lives in a town where there's no Jewish community where he lives. There's no shofar, there's no shul, there's no chazan, there's nothing. And he has a choice. Comes Rosh Hashanah morning, he could either walk to this town, which is within the tchum, or he can walk to the other town, which is the other way, so he can't walk both. He's not going to make it to both. So what are his options? In one shul, they have a shofar, and the other shul, they have a bal tefillah. So he's got to choose. So the child that has the shofar, they have no bal tefillah. So they have a bal tekeh, there's no bal tefillah. Nobody knows how to daven, nobody has a siddur, no one knows anything. So no one's going to daven Muslim. They're not going to have machis across the shofar, but at least they can hear the kiyah shofar. Whereas in the other shul, so they have a gavalik about tefila, but nobody knows how to blow shofar. So this guy's stuck. He's got to make a decision. Quick, he's got to make a decision. Which is the more important of the two mitzvahs to go to? So the Gemara says it's not even a discussion. The Gemara says it's pshita that you have to go for the shofar and not for the chazan. Why? The Gemara says hadiraisa hadirabanan. The Gemara says the shofar is diraisa and malach is a chazan shofar. So the Rabbanan. So says the Ramban, what's Rashi talking about in Chumash? Why does Rashi tell you hoshta ultera that Malchi, Zecharis, and Shofar is the Araisa? The Gemara should have said, you go to whichever one you want. Had the Araisa. Why is Yom Truah any more of a mitzvah than Zichron Truah? The Rashi is right, that they're both Kiyum and the Araisa. Every Jew and every male on Rosh Hashanah has to fulfill both of these Kiyum. You have to have a Yom Truah Yalachem, and you have to have a Zichron Truah Mikra Kurdish, and they're both Kiyum and the Araisa. So who am I to judge? Which is the more important mitzvah? So why does the Gemara say, Pshitra, you go to the Araisa, you don't go to the Dirabonim? That's the Ramban's cash against Rashi. So what's the Bir Badas Rashi? So all the Acharenim explain, Rashi Shittas is as follows. This din, that there's a din in a Torah of Zichron Truah, you have to speak about the shofar. What does that mean? That means to enhance the Tekiyah Shofar. It's if you're blowing shofar, then you become chuyiv in the din of Zichron Truah. You have to talk about the shofar also. But if you're not going to blow the shofar, so what are you talking about for? It's not that Zichron Truah is an independent mitzvah. It's not like on Sukkos, let's say. The Torah gives us two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah b'shiva b'sukkah, and there's a mitzvah b'tilas mubah. So they're equally important mitzvahs. So I'm not going to decide which is more important. Whatever the cheshbain is, they call them in halacha, I decide it's more important. But they're two different mitzvahs. Let's say a guy has a sukkah, he doesn't have a lulav. So he eats in a sukkah, he doesn't take the lulav. A guy has a lulav, doesn't have a sukkah. So you take the lulav, you don't need the sukkah. So you can do one mitzvah without the other. Each one stands on its own 2 feet in that Torah. So comes all the achrayim and say, according to Rashi, the relationship between Yom Tru and Zichron Tru is not like that. It's not like lulav and sukkah. The relationship between Yom Tru and Zichron Tru is that Zichron Tru is an added component to Yom Tru. The Torah says, don't only blow the shofar, but focus on the shofar. Talk about the shofar. Speak about the shofar. Analyze the shofar.
And by doing so, that'll be a greater kiyum of Yom Shuri Yelachem. But let's say a guy doesn't have the shofar. If you don't have the shofar, then true, you still have to daven Malchus Zechonos and Shofar, but that's only with your Rabbanan. The davening Malchus Zechonos and Shofar in the absence of the shofar is not a kiyum in a Torah. That's not a different true. So Rashi's right that Yom Shuri is deraisa, Zichron Shuri is deraisa. If you have Yom Shuri, then you have Zichron Shuri also, because the Zichron Shuri, the nature of Zichron Shuri, is the enhancement of the Yom Shuri, not as a separate kiyum before announcement. So now we understand why the Ramban's kash is not a kash according to Rashi. The Gemara says you have a choice to go to the shofar or to the davening. So of course you go to the shofar, because the shofar is an independent mitzvah. If you daven, you don't daven, you still fulfill Yom Shuri Elochem. You got the mitzvah to kiyah shofar. Not b'shle musa, you just the davening, okay, mishkefela. But if you're going to go and opt, and you're going to go to the Malachi Zechonos and shofars and lose out the shofar, then on a level of the Raisa, you gained nothing. Because your Malachi Zechonos and shofars is nothing min HaTorah. There is no kiyum of Malachi Zechonos and shofars as an independent kiyum. So then you're a fool. Why did you go to the Derabbanan for? You have a much better chance. Go to the Derais. The Derais is much more important than the Derabbanan. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Dal is not a riot against Rashi. We just had to revamp Rashi a little bit that the... Of course, there's a kiyum deraisa zichronos of zichron shuva, but that kiyum is only together. It's incorporated with the yom shuva with the tkiyah itself. So, kopanim, we have at least two very very different mahalchim as to shalachomish. Whole shiur is just how to read two words, zichron shuva, in connection with yom shuva. Four words. That's the whole shiur. Yom shuva and zichron shuva. So, according to Rishava, they're contradictory. And therefore, one's b'Shabbos, one's b'Chol, and we have to understand what the nature of that din b'Shabbos is all about. Why don't you blow? So it's not Torah's malacha; the Torah's issa b'fnei atzmo. But the robes razzle dazzle mahalach is an issa tefillah b'chosh, etc. That's through Shami's approach to the sugya. Then there's a second mahalach, which is Rashi's mahalach, that zichron trua and yom trua are not contradictory; they're complementary. That zichron trua is an additional kiyum, which is deraisa, but only when it's combined together with yom trua. Is there any other way to read Yom Tov and Zichron Tov? Is there any other din that is derived from this seemingly different nuance of Pesukim? So there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, a very famous Gemara, where the Gemara starts in Kaf Ches and Alf and goes on the bottom of Chum HaBeis and even spills over to Chaf Tes. But the Gemara discusses the sugya mitzvah Tzvichas Kavana. The person does the mitzvah, and he's doing the mitzvah for some other kind of a reason. He has to care for shiur. He's blowing shofar. He's not interested in Rosh Hashanah. He's not his goal right now to fulfill the mitzvah. He likes the sound of the tekiyah shofar. Or a guy's eating matzah. He likes the taste of matzah. Whatever the case may be, he's doing a mitzvah for some other reason. So does he fulfill the mitzvah or not? Mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Mitzvah zayin tzrichas kavana. Machlekes tanoim and amavraim and mishanim and tudei zshuvanah. Being big very machlekes. Tzrichas kavana. Ain't tzrichas kavana. The Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out in Hilchos Kriyas Shema that doesn't mean as far. Let's say a guy comes to shul in the morning. His mom is half asleep. He walks to the shul. He opens up his tefillin. He says, "Asher kiddushar v'lo aniach tefillin." Puts on his tefillin. His mom can't keep his eyes open. Then he finishes diving, takes him off. And then, oh my goodness, I forgot to have kavana to be yotzei mitzvah tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "No, for sure you yotzei mitzvah. It's not. That's not the nice optimal way of avodas Hashem. But that's not called mitzvah strichas kavana and tzilas kavana. There, it's obvious from context. Of course, you did it lishma. You made a bracha." Yeah, you put the tefillin. Why did you come to shul at 6 o'clock in the morning? Of course, you came to put on tefillin. That's not the sugya mitzvahs kavana. All the examples of mitzvahs kavana is when a guy is doing the mitzvah and he's doing it clearly for some other reason. Not that he's not having in mind to be yotzei. We show him right that if a guy has kavana hafuch, if a guy has in mind, I'm not to be yotzei. For sure, he's not yotzei. But in all these cases, I have to kill the shir. He's not holding the rishon. He's not interested in rishon. He doesn't care about rishon right now. He's interested in the sound of the shofar. The guy's eating the matzah because he likes the taste. So someone's forcing him to eat the matzah. Now, there are other reasons why he's doing the mitzvah. Well, let's say Kriya Shema. There's a discussion. A guy's reading Parshas Veschanon. Happens to be Parshas Shavua. He used to have the shalom in Mer Yaakov all the time. This is by mitzvah Parshas, Parshas Veschanon. It's only 11, but we used to, 3-4 years ago, we used to, now we got tired of it, but we used to actually prepare for mitzvah Parshas. So now we're going to have him Zev. He's by Yaakov Akruva, but it's I have to figure out what to do about that. But Chanan, so we used to, sometimes in Marashah, when we were in the summers, we were in Marashah, so sometimes I would come back, you know, put the kids to sleep. So he would like to read me a couple of psukkah for Pasha's Vaschanan. So every once in a while, he'd get up to the Pasha Shema. Right? And it was already 9 o'clock at night. It was time to daven Ma'ariv. So I would always raise the question, say, okay, Merach, if you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet, could you be Yotzei Kriya Shema from Ma'ariv by just chazmin, by preparing for mitzvah parsha, parsha v'schanan? So that's the Mishnah. First Mishnah, second Berachah Brachos. Hoya Kori B'Torah, V'Yiyah Shas Nikra, in Mekivin Libo Yotzei, and Lo Kivin Libo Lo Yotzei. So there also, the guy is doing the mitzvah for some other reason. He's Mav Sedra, he's preparing for mitzvah parasha. He's a sefer writing the sefer Torah. So he's not having in mind the shem mitzvah. So is he yotzei or not yotzei? That's the sugya. Tzichus kavana tzichus kavana. Is a Rashba in Akamar that says that even if you hold that mitzvah ain't tzichus kavana, Kriya Shema is different for some reason. Again, not learning the sugya right now. Tzichus kavana, but if a person does a mitzvah and there's no other reason why he's doing it, just that he wasn't so from, he didn't think that l'shaim mitzvah, he didn't say l'shaim yichud, so then for sure he's going to be yotzei. That's the Mishnah Berurah quote from the Chayyim. But let's say a guy really does the mitzvah in a way that there really is some other reason why he's doing the mitzvah. Is he yotzei or is he not yotzei? So the only thing that seems clear from the Gemara is that this is a din kloli. No matter how you either decide what your issue is, either yotzei is kavanah, no yotzei is kavanah. You decide, you pick whatever shit you want to hold, but you got to be consistent. So comes the Rambam, and of course is inconsistent. The Rambam shouldn't surprise us, but the Rambam says to himself. So in Hilchas Shofar, the Rambam paskins that. Another paskin that you're not yotzei. If a person is to kill the shear, you're not yotzei. Then hilchos matzah, the chachamim to matzah, around paskins, you ate matzah, bli kavana, you are yotzei. So that's a problem. How come the shofar, you're not yotzei, and matzah, you are yotzei? So the Magen Mishnah writes, he's so convinced that this Rambam doesn't make any sense, there's got to be a tosof in the Rambam. It must be when the Rambam says that you are yotzei, and the chachamim to matzah, the correct yotzei is lo yotzei. So he adds the words lo to the Rambam. So all the other Nesikim say, but there is no such Ksaviyat. None of the Kisviyat say, like the Rambam says, Yotza. So the Mishnah says that he thinks the Rambam, there must be a mistake. He's guessing the Rambam made a mistake, that some printer's mistake. But Lamaisa, nobody else has that. And all the texts in the Rambam that we have, the Rambam is Mamash sells for himself. So what's Pshat? So some suggest that maybe what the Rambam is based on is follows that. And the Rambam is a little bit of a source for this in the Gemara. Also, that maybe not every mitzvah is the same. Maybe different mitzvahs are different. Maybe this question, whether yotzei without kavanah, not yotzei without kavanah, may depend each mitzvah. So what's the rule? What's the exception? How do you know? So when you have a regular mitzvah, the Torah says eat matzah. So the Torah doesn't say anything else to do about the matzah. Eat the matzah. Eventually, eat the matzah, but it tells how to eat the matzah. The Torah says shake the lulav. The Torah says put on tefillah. The Torah says put on tzitzis. So the Torah doesn't tell you anything else to do. Just do the mitzvah, do the ma'aseh mitzvah, and finish. So the Rambam paskins bikaron mitzvahs and tzrichos kavanah. You don't really have to have kavanah when you do mitzvahs. But there are certain mitzvahs where the Torah emphasizes that the kavanah is also important. So which mitzvah is this? Kishay. The Torah says zikr and teruah mikra kodesh. So what does zikr and teruah mean? Zikr and teruah means that you have to focus on what you're doing. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to be cognizant that you're doing the Torah's mitzvah. Zikr and teruah mikra kodesh, that pulse, that phrase, maybe is mechadish to us this idea of kavanah b'mitzvah shofar. So whereas according to the Rambam, all other mitzvahs, most of the mitzvahs don't require kavanah, but kiya shofar does require kavanah. And that's learned out from zichr and teruah. What kind of halacha would that be? It's a modna halacha, strange halacha. Manishdana shofar from all of the mitzvahs that requires kavanah. So maybe the Bira Dov is as follows. There is a Rambam in Chos Tefillah, and the Rambam says that the person dav is a mispal bli kavanah, ki lo ispal o klal. So Imamish wasn't in Daven Bechlal. So Reb Chaim and that Rambam in Uchas Tefillah points out that which the Rambam is telling us, that Hamispala Bali Kavana, Kilo Ispala Klal, that's not the did of Mitzvah Shechus Kavana, of Kolatar Kula. That's not the same thing. Says Reb Chaim, even if you hold, like those Tanoim, those Amaroim, that Mitzvah ain't Shechus Kavana, Tefillah for sure requires Kavana. Why is that? So says Reb Chaim, Kavana in most Mitzvahs is something which is external, something which is tangential. So the guy's shaking a lulav. So what define the mitzvah of tefillah lulav? The mitzvah of the lulav is l'kach l'mechem yom rishon with the avin nafik bay. You pick up the lulav, yotzei. The ma'ase of tefillah lulav, that's the mitzvah. Kavana is something which is external. So some tanoim say it's an external condition that's necessary. It's ma'akev, and if you don't have it, you taka that yotzei. And other tanoim say no, it's external. Chatchil, you have to have it, but the avin yotzei without it. But there are other mitzvahs out there, says Reb Chaim, where the kavana is the very essence of the mitzvah. Means that defines the very mitzvah itself. So says Reb Chaim, Hilchos Tefillah is such. How does the Torah define Tefillah of the Bechal Levavchem? The person's davening the words, that's not Tefillah. Tefillah does not mean, the definition of Tefillah doesn't mean that a person opens up a siddur and starts saying, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseh. That's not Tefillah. That's just parroting words. Tefillah means Avodah Shebalev. But tefillah means that a person has to be mechavin to Rebbeinu Shalom. That's the very definition, that's the very essence, the integral part of tefillah. You can't have a machloikis, it's kavanah ma'akev, not ma'akev. Because it's ma'akev, you can talk about what, how much is minimum kavanah, what's called kavanah, not called kavanah. You can talk about details, but nobody could say that tefillah b'li kavanah is called a ma'aseh. It's not a ma'aseh mitzvah b'chlal. So maybe that idea that Reb Chaim is saying, you know, for tefillah, maybe that's the same you said in Shofar also. Shofar is different from lulav and matzah. Shofar, all learned out from Zichron and Truah, teaches us that the kavanah is an integral part of the mitzvah. And why is that? My high that it's an integral part of the mitzvah. So this may be a throwback to what we said before with the Rav's beer, that shofar is a kim of tefillah. Shofar is part of tefillah. Shofar is in the Shemoneh Esrei. Shofar is a part of tefillah. You're mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime you're speaking to Rebbeinu Shalom, either through words or through sounds, so to speak to Rebbeinu Shalom without kavanah, that's not called blowing the alma. That's not called a ma'aseh mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. So the Rambam may have learned all this out. Perhaps the Rambam learned this all out from Zichron Truah. But Zichron Truah teaches us this dimension of shofar, not like the Rishali Zichron Truah, that Zichron means don't blow the shofar. Just talk about the shofar, don't blow it because chalim v'chalim because it's Shabbos. But not like Rashi's pshat, that not only you have to blow the shofar, you have to also say pesukim. No, the Rambam says, you just have to blow the shofar. That's all you have to do. There is nothing else to do on Rosh Hashanah. There's no other mitzvah deraisa. But the tzur of how you blow it, you have to blow it in such a way that it's meaningful for you, that you're thinking about it, you're concentrating on it. To blow the shofar, stop without focusing, the tilsul, that's okay. The tilsul, the agri nothing, I don't care if you're on the moon, you're thinking about the Mets, I don't know why you're thinking about the Mets these days, but whatever you're thinking about, so that's called the tilsul. But to blow shofar and thinking about something else, that's an integral, that undermines the very essence of the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar as a chelik of tefillah. So we seem to have three very, very different approaches in the Rishonim and the Bavlis and the Rishonim. Just pshat and psukim. You read the psukim and chumash. Everyone saw the psukim and chumash? Okay. Yeah, everyone's seen the word zichr and truah. So anyone ever stop there? What do the words mean? Alpid din. What is zichr and truah coming to teach us? What is the halacha of zichr and truah? So according to Rishonim, zichr and truah means stop to b'shabbos, don't blow shofar. According to Rashi, zichr and truah means say psukim vei b'chol vei b'shabbos as a kiyum d'oraisa, but only with the shofar itself. And according to this possibility, maybe this is not Saram, but maybe that Zichron Truah is telling me that the mitzvah of shofar is different from other mitzvahs, that it requires, it says Ikar, it requires a focus, a kavana, similar to the idea of Hilchos Tefillah. Now, Kopanim, we follow the Bavli, right? We don't follow the Rishonim. Why do we follow the Bavli? Whenever there's Machlokes, it's Bavli, Rishonim, so we always follow the Bavli. Why is that? Who remembers? We said it 100 times last year. So the Rif writes in the end of Erevin, Halach Kibasarai, that whenever you have a machloek, it's the later Amarayim, so you always follow the later Amarayim, because the later Amarayim had access to what the early Amarayim said, and if they rejected them, so Rav Ashi knew what Rav Papa said. So Rav Ashi said, I still disagree with Rav Papa. That's a riot that Rav Ashi rejected him, and then we follow the later ones. So the Rif says, the Bavli was compiled 20 years after the Rishonim, so you follow what it says in the Bavli. Rabbi Chaim Wasserman writes in his Sefer, in Kudrus Divrei Sefer, a whole different beat of why he thinks we follow the Bavli over the Rishonim. Against what the Rif says, Rabbi Chaim develops a whole Yisoid that the Bavli was written by Kibbutz Kol Chachmei Yisrael, which historically, that at the time the Bavli was written, so all the action was involved. There was very, very little going on in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So all the Rishivas and all the Tamid Chachamim, the 99% of the Torah that was being learned in the world at that time, was taking place in Bavli. So the Talmud Bavli had the status of a psak of Kol Chachmei Yisrael, Rov Chachmei Yisrael, which he assumed was based on Rambam, is elevated to the status of a Beis Din HaGadol. Beis Din HaGadol, either if you have 71 Dayanim sitting in Yerushalayim, is Beis Din HaGadol, or if you have all of Klai Yisrael together paskening something, that's also like a Beis Din HaGadol. But Sheikh Yisham, we never had the Koyach of Beis Din HaGadol. The Yisham was written by Yechidim, it was written by the Talmidim Rabbi Yechidim. They were sitting in Tiberia writing the Yishamis, and it was beautiful, it was wonderful, a great Talmid Chachamim. But Lamaisa, when they were writing the Rishalmi and Tiberia, they were not the Roh Chachmei Yisrael. By any stretch of the imagination, by that time, Bekoshi, most of the Jews lived in Babel already. So they never had the Haskam of Roh Chachmei Yisrael. So they were great Tamid Chachamim, and we listen to what they have to say, we take it into consideration. But when you have a Psach of a Beis Din HaGadol against the Psach of Yechidim, then the Psach of Beis Din HaGadol is going to win. So that's where Bechonim's Lomdish, Mahalach, is Nisnagdish Mahalach. What's that? That the Pesach of the Bavli is fundamentally different to Kaveh and Halacha than the Pesach of the Rishon. Whatever it is, the bottom line is you always follow the Bavli. So we follow the Bavli here also. So we paskin with Kiyah Shofar on Shabbos. It's really Chayim in the Torah. We're supposed to be blowing Shofar on Shabbos, but mid the Rabbanah we don't. Gezer, you may come to carry the Shofar. So it's in this background that the Bavli of the Bavos raises the question, how can we do that? If the Torah says you have to blow shofar on Shabbos, so what right did the Chum have to tell us not to blow shofar? The Chum have a right to uproot mitzvahs in the Torah. The Chum don't have a right to tell us not to listen to the Rebbeinu Shalom, so what right do they have to tell us not to blow shofar? So the Gemara says, no, but the Chum do have a certain koyach in Halacha called Yesh Koch B'yad Chum Lachadav Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Ta'aseh, that the Chum have the koyach, they have the ability, and we have to listen to them when they tell us not to perform mitzvahs B'Shev Al Ta'aseh. If a Beis Din gets up and says, everyone's got to drop the shul on Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen to them. Everyone's got to eat treif, you're not allowed to listen to them. They cannot actively tell you to violate an aveira. But to tell you passively not to do a mitzvah, that's what they have to do. If they see there's a good reason, obviously they're not going to tell us this for no reason. So here the Beis Din had to make a cheshbon. And they made a hashara that it's more important that people are shomer Shabbos, people shouldn't carry the shofar shalik yadin. So therefore, we're going to tell everybody not to blow shofar on Shabbos. It's a gezeir v'shem yavirena dal damas b'shusarabim, and yesh kof yarcham lachad of meretar b'shev al tas. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos is beferish not pitez of tzadik in the sugya of yesh kof yarchamim. There is a big discussion that the Acharonim have within this halach of yesh kof yarcham lachad of meretar. So what does that mean? That means that the Chum have a right to tell you not to do a mitzvah saseh. They can hold you back and say, in the koyach and given to us in the Torah, the sauce in the dove, we are telling you not to blow shofar. If I go there and blow shofar, did it in Aveira. If I didn't blow shofar, it's a terrible thing. It's a violation of this in their eyes, the sauce is the Rambam. The bottom line, push comes to shofar. The guy's going to go next Shabbos and pick up a shofar and blow shofar. He's going to violate this in the Rambam. Good, terrible. We won't give him after you in Yom Kippur. Did he fulfill the mitzvah of Kir Shofar? So some Achmarim say, yeah, he fulfilled the mitzvah Tkir Shofar. L'maisi, blue shofar. The Torah says, Yom Tur Yalachem, Zichat Rumi Kekosh, it's all the same thing according to the Bavli. So Min HaTorah, he's Mechir of the Blah. So he didn't have it, he also chapped the mitzvah. So Blah, 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 Yai. So some brownie points will lose some. So he fulfilled the mitzvah Tkir Shofar. That's what some Achmarim say. Another Achmarim say, no. And he's not Yaitzin the mitzvah. You know why? Because what's the Lashon of Chazal? Yesh Koch B'yach HaChom and what? What's the word? Lakor, the Chom, built into the Koyach of the Sosar, is that the Chum can mamash redefine the Torah. The Chum could say that what used to be a mitzvah, used to be a mitzvah in the books called Tkir Shofar and Shabbos, it doesn't exist anymore. If a person goes ahead and does the mitzvah in a way that Chazal weren't happy with, so he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, it's not considered to be a mitzvah altogether. My nafkamina, who cares whether he's yetzim mitzvah, not yetzim mitzvah. At the end of the day, he did the wrong thing. At the end of the day, if he's shomer mitzvahs, he's not going to do it. So what do we care about what's going on in Shemayim? When he gets to Shemayim, they'll figure out whether he gets chayav for the mitzvah. He's going to get an einish for violating the lasasa. So my nafkamina is going to get the chayav for the mitzvah. A strange shayla. So the Acharonim say no. Lachap nafkamina ladin in the following case. There's a machlekes in the Rishonim about on a regular Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, so we say shechiyonah. We blow shofar for the first day. The first time you do a mitzvah once a year, so you do you make a bracha. What about the second day? Should you blow when you blow shofar the second day of Shana, should you make a bracha or not? So some Rishonim have this idea that you don't make a bracha because it's Yom Ha'arichta. That since the Chachamim were kever, the Gemara in the beginning of Beitza says when they instituted Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah, so they instituted differently than Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius. Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius was instituted al HaSafek, and therefore each day is considered to be a separate kedushas Hayom. So Min HaTorah the first day is kedush, and the Rabbanon the second day is kedush. They're two separate kedushas. Rosh Hashanah was instituted as a yom, as a kedusha achas, and again, leaving out the details of Maseches Beitza, why this is important, it was mukhs, other areas, but the takana of Rosh Hashanah was fundamentally different. It's keteris kedusha achas, it's considered to be like mamish one long day. There are enough communities ladin and hokus mukhs are based on that. So come some Rishonim and say, if it's kedusha achas, so then you can't say shechiyana twice. How can you say shechiyana v'kimar v'yom hazman hazeh? You just said it early in the day. So you can't say shechiyana. It would be like the guy, he sits down to eat in the sukkah, so he makes a shechiyanu, and then an hour later he comes back and the sukkah makes another shechiyanu. He says, Bachel HaTola. He just made shechiyanu when the mitzvah ready. It's over, finished. So that's what some Rishonim say. And most of the Rishonim disagree. Most of the Rishonim say, no, Kedusha Achas is vis-a-vis Hukkas Mukhtza. Another thing is, don't do Hukkas Tefillah. Otherwise, the guy could say, why do I have to come to Shul on Sephiroth Hashanah? I came already yesterday. It's the same day. Yom HaRichta. I don't have to have a Shabbos twice. So you see, it's a joke. That Yom HaRichta doesn't mean that Lagabi all halachas. They're very, very unique halachas that Yom HaRichta plays out. That's what most of the Rishonim said, that you say Shechiyanu on the second day of Tkiyah Shofar. So that's the minhag in most of our communities are those who follow the minhag HaGrah, so the Grah didn't say Shechiyanu on the second day. The Yekis, the Adah Yom HaZeh, don't say Shechiyanu on the second day of Shofar. If you go to Barayas, so the second day of Tkiyah Shofar, they do not say Shechiyanu. How do I know that? Because I used to be the rabbi in the Yekis Shul. When I was in the rabbi in Paramus, So their minig was they didn't say Shechiyonu on the second day of Kishomer, but they had a strange minig. I didn't start this minig. The Rav before me started. Not Rav Shech. Rav Shech was the first Rav of that shul. He was the very first Rav of the shul in Paramus. But there were a few Rabbanim in between before I came. So they had a strange minig that the Baal Tekeh would say the bracha on the second day, L'shma Chol Shofar, and then he would pause for like 3 seconds. And the pause was to enable anyone who wants to say their own private Shechiyonu could say Shechiyonu, you know, mumble under their breath, say Shechiyonu. So that was a minig. But that was a strange minig. That's what the minig was. So one year, I must have told the story over here. Right, my daughter, right? So 1 year, it was, I don't know, it's been 3 years old or something. So she comes running into Shul in the middle of Musaf on the second day of Shoshana. And she's now in the top of her lungs. She says, Abba, Ima just came to Shul, which is, of course, in and of itself. I'm sure my wife is thrilled to know, everyone in the Shul has to know when she walked to Shul in Shoshana. Ima just came to Shul and she missed the bracha and shofar. What does she do? Does she say the bracha herself? That was she was sent as the Shaliach. He asked me what to do. So I nodded. I can't talk. It's Musaf. You're not allowed to talk to Kiyas, whatever. Say, nodded. Say, she should say the bracha herself. That's what the poskim say. The woman should say the bracha herself before, right before the next Kiyas, right before the bracha of the Kiyas Amalekis. So you say the bracha of the Shmokh Hashofar. The daughter comes running back a second later. But Ima wants to know, is she supposed to say Shechiyonu or not? So here, all eyes in the shul turned on me because this was the moment of truth. Because nobody knew whether I said Shechiyonu under my breath or not. Because the meaning of the shul was not that what everybody else does. So I nodded, I gave the green light. I said, yeah, say Shechiyonu, Shechiyonu. It's a very exciting moment of a crisis in Paramus. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So according to the Gra, the Minig HaGra, the Yekish and Minig, you only say Shechiyonu one time. One time per Rosh Hashanah. So that's the same shadow whether you say Shechiyonu by Kiddush on the second night. It's the same Machlekes. That's where the Minig came from, to take the fruit and the soup and have all the different Minhagim that we have. Many people have on the first night, second night Rosh Hashanah, is to avoid this suffering. But there's Machlekes every Shana what the din is. So come Yechavim and say, what would the din be as follows? This year, a guy comes Shabbos, and he forgot it was Shabbos. He didn't realize it was Shabbos. He thought he was supposed to blow shofar. So he gets up and he says, L'shmach ha-shofar. He says, Shechiyonu. He blows the shofar, and someone taps one shofar and missed it says in the Siddur to omit the blowing of the shofar on Saturday. So, goofed, sorry. Okay, comes back tomorrow, time to blow shofar, if you daven in Broyas. Imagine this mistake would never happen in Broyas. These are the mistakes they don't make in Broyas. But imagine they blew shofar by mistake on Shabbos, and then they come back the next day when they have a shalosh, should they say Shechiyonu or not? So the Achronim said, it's Mechlekes. What's the Shaila? So it's a very crazy Shaila. It never happened in the history of the world, but it's a very Lomdash Shaila. What's the Lomdash Shaila? Did you fulfill Shofar yesterday? Bottom line, you didn't have Eir B'Shege, you clap Achet when it comes to for blowing Shofar and Shabbos. But the bottom line is, did you fulfill the mitzvah or not? So if you hold that Yesh Kof Yechem Lacha Da Min HaTorah, it just means Yesh Kof Yechem Liftor Min HaTorah. It means the Chum can tell you not to do a mitzvah. Doesn't mean they have who gave the Chum the right, the power invested in them to uproot mitzvahs in the Torah. You have the right to tell you B'Shege not to do the mitzvah. You don't have the Kof to uproot the mitzvah. So then, it turns out the guy heard Shofar yesterday, so then you can't make Shechiyonu today according to the Yekis. But if you hold like the second pshat, you can mamash be oikin the mitzvah mikol v'chol, that the mitzvah shofar doesn't exist. So it turns out that it doesn't exist. You didn't blow shofar yesterday. It was nothing. It wasn't a mitzvah. So then you can say Shechiyonu with a full heart on Sunday. So it's a strange machlekes. But the machlekes achrenim. But the machlekes is rooted in a fundamental shadow. What's the koach of the chum? Can there be oikir mitzvah now? What's the answer? So what's the thing? Do the chum have the koach to be oikir or not be oikir? So the pashas that the machlekes have shown him in Maseches Sukkah, Tav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells has the following din in Maseches Sukkah. Min haTorah, of a person sitting in a sukkah, so as long as Rosh of Rubo is in the sukkah, so he's yaitzid in the midst of sukkah. But what if the sukkah is very cramped and he has a shulchan, his table is outside the sukkah? He's eating in the sukkah, but his shulchan is leaning over out of the sukkah a little bit. So it's Mechlekes B'Shan, Basil, is there anything wrong with that? So Basil says, nothing wrong with that. Basil says, Mutlach Hatchil, you can sit in the sukkah, your table's out of the sukkah, that's fine. And B'Shami says, no. B'Shami says, no, I do that. B'Shami says, we're afraid, Gezeir Hashem Yim Shechach HaShulchanai. We're afraid that you may come to lean out of the sukkah too much, and it'll be Rosh Hashanah, will be out of the sukkah. It'll turn out you're not in the sukkah altogether. So midrabbanan, you're not allowed to eat in such a sukkah. So we have the machlekes that we've shown, and this may be one of the exceptions. We may pass like b'shamay. It's machlekes had to read the sugya in Daf Gimel and sukkah. According to many rishonim, we pass like b'shamay in this. It's 2 days and then rishonim. So let's assume for a minute that we pass like b'shamay. We pass in that if a guy eats in such a sukkah, so that's not acceptable. He violated the din derabbanan of Shem Yimshachach Hashulchanah. So the Gemara tells us, Mishnah tells a strange story. The Mishnah says that the zikne b'shamay, zikne b'silo. So the we were trying to figure out what the halacha is. Should we follow B'Sham or follow B'Sil? So they tell a story that one time there was a man by the name of Yochanan Charani. He was a great Tana from the last generation, Yochanan Charani. And all the Chachamim went to go visit him once on Sukkot. And lo and behold, there was a little crowd in there. He was sitting in a sukkah, whereas Rosh Ruben, the sukkah Shulchan Aruch the sukkah. So the Beishamai said that all the Zikne Beishamai had said to this Rabbi Yochanan Charani, in Kainat HaYoshev, Melkiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. That was a lush that they said to Rabbi Yochanan Charani. But if that's the way you sit in a sukkah, you never fulfill the Mitzvah Sukkah of your entire life. So Taisus and that Gemara, that Gimel Menachem and Sukkah jumps and says, what do you mean, Melkiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha? Even according to Beishamai, it's only with the Rabbanon. So we violated it in the Rabbanon, no big deal. So, okay, so terrible. No, did it, is it the Rabbanon? But how could you say such a lashon? It's not evidence. It's not evidence. Check it. Lo kiyamtin it's a sukkah miyamecha. So Taisus says, what do you see from this Gemara? Zetman Fendai, you see from here an unbelievable yisayit, says Taisus, that if the chachamim were mesakeh and you're not allowed to sit in such a sukkah, they have the koyach to be oiker this from the shame sukkah. It's not called the sukkah anymore. It's not the mitzvah sukkah anymore. If a guy sits in a sukkah that's possible with the Rabbanon, even though min haTorah it's theoretically kosher, that once the chama masak in such a sukkah is possible, it becomes possible on the level of the araisa, because the chama have the right, they have the ability, yeshkaf me'achav lakra devim in a Torah, it's not a sukkah. So the lashon that they said to Rabbi Yochanan Charani, lo kiyam the mitzvah sukkah me'amecha, was absolutely correct. That's what Tosfos says. So the Ran and that Gemara says, come on, it was just an expression, lo kiyam the mitzvah sukkah me'amecha. Didn't mean you are yoytzei. The Ran says, you're not yoytzei. Of course you're yoytzei. It's only a psalm of the Rabban, of course you're yoytzei. So the Ran says, I give you a mashal, he says, that sometimes the Chachamim use a very, very strong mashal. They don't really mean it. They mean it wasn't the right thing to do. You know what his mashal is? Anyone know? The Ran says, I'll give you another mashal that Chazal used, the Zayin Lashon, of lo yotzi lechavaso, it doesn't mean it seriously. It just means that not you didn't do the right thing, but lemais we yotzi. So we go nuts to get all the women, everyone's got to come and listen to every single word of Pesach. So the Ran says, yeah, come on, what do you mean, why are you yotze? You ate the matzah, you ate the maror, you ate the karm Pesach, what do you mean, why are you yotze? Of course you mean yotze. Lo yotze de chavasa means, you didn't do the mitzvah b'shleimusi, you didn't do it the way, the proper way of doing it, you didn't do the mitzvah b'hidura. But of course you're yotze, you're basically, that's the Ran's mashal to prove that he's right. So other Rishonim disagree with the mashal, disagree with the Ran. Anyway, it's a machlekes tais in the Ran. The bottom line is, Machlekes Tais in Sukkah, Dav Gimel, the Ran beginning with the Sukkah, when the Chachamim tell you not to do a mitzvah in a certain way, do they have this koyach on a level of their eyes to be oiker a mitzvah? It's no longer called a mitzvah anymore. When you say, Rabbitah, who gave the Chachamim the koyach? We oiker mitzvahs, they have the right to patter us from mitzvahs, but they can't do the mitzvah to mitzvah. You cannot prove the mitzvah, the Torah says it's the mitzvah. So at the end of the day, that Machlekes Tais in Ran and Sukkah will carry up to the Kish Shofar as well. So, bottom line is, we're not pulling Shofar, Shad Chas for Shabbos. So unless we get mikdash, we'll be zeichet in the base of mikdash. We'll be able to blow shofar. But chutz the mikdash, we're not going to blow shofar. According to Rishonim, it's din deraisa with all the different permutations of zichron tshuva. We have different shofar in zichron tshuva, Rashi and the Rambam, all the different things we said. And according to the Bavli, we're not blowing shofar mid rabbanon because they were oik in the midst of shofar. So does that mean they were really okra? Does that mean they were polteros? It's probably about chagig tais in the round the beginning of Sukkot. Okay. Should I say tomorrow back to regular 11 o'clock? 11, and then first lunch, right? Yeah. First five guys for lunch. So, new fellas. New blood, okay. Yep. A big shout out to everybody, by the way. We've almost said a...